It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I am very blessed to be here.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
I will. You're about to get that down, aren't you?
I think so.
You think so? Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we are honored and blessed to be here together as believers. And Father, there may only be three of us in this room at the moment, but I can count on that as more than two. And you said wherever two or more gathered in your name, you would be with us. And Father, we know that there are others who are joined with us virtually and who are going to be joined with us both now, live today, and even later. Father, we know that whatever word you have for us as individuals, Father. And Father, that word fresh from your Holy Spirit will bring life to our lives, Father. It'll bring wisdom and knowledge to our understanding and help us. And so, Father, we purpose to open our minds, open our eyes, open our ears to you, and have that heart that's ready to receive what you have to say. Father, we pray for those this morning, our brothers, our sisters in Christ, first of all, who may be struggling, facing some challenge, Father. Here in a little while, we will have prayer requests. And Lord, even now we know that you are poised and ready to pour out your blessing, your anointing that destroys yokes of oppression and removes burdens. And Father, I would just pray, Lord, that if someone's struggling this morning, Father, that you would open their hearts to receive the word that you have for them. I pray that you draw near to them. They would feel your presence, Lord God. They would literally sense your nearness, Lord God, today, and know that it's going to be all right. It's not always going to look like it looks right now. Now, Father, we just release that word of peace and grace, and I pray that in this program today you continue to lead us by your Holy Spirit and let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. Don't harden your heart.
Don't harden your heart. Or we could have another title that says, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Yeah.
You know. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be reading about that. If you got a chance to get your Bible, Bible study's better when you have one. Amen. So, and I want to encourage you too, if you haven't yet gotten an app in your phone, a Bible app, you got a smartphone. It's not near smart as it could be unless you have the YouVersion Bible app. Is my microphone all right?
So far.
It's lit up red. So
yeah, so that's not a good sign.
That's not good. Red usually means stop. Green means go. We'll swap.
Sorry, y'all.
There we go.
Yay.
Green light.
Okay.
Now we got a green light. So, you know, praise the Lord, red was stop and green is go, so
yes.
Here we go.
Let's go.
But you know, God's got something for us today as individuals. He knows each one of us. He knows exactly what we need. So I want you to grab your Bible. I was saying if you didn't have a Bible app in your phone, I want to recommend one to you. It's called YouVersion. It's spelled YOUVERSION, version, YouVersion, and it's given out to us as a gift from God from Life Church. Thank God for Life Church doing that for all of us in the body of Christ, and whoever empowered them to do that, bless them, Lord. But that Bible app in your phone is just a dream come true for a tool to study God's Word. So if you haven't got it, you ought to get it. Open your Bible, if you would, John chapter 16. I got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. Sounds familiar from back in the 70s to me. You see, it's John chapter 16, verse 5. And we're reading the words of Jesus himself. He was in the upper room on the night of his betrayal. He was gathered there with his disciples. And in my opinion, some of the things that you read from John 13 through 17, that last, what we know as the Last Supper, some of the most important things that Jesus ever said in his entire ministry as far as truth nuggets are found in these passages of scriptures. And one of the things that Jesus focused on intently was the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how important that was going to be to the apostles and to all those who would come after them and follow and become followers of Jesus. It's so important. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is so important that in Acts chapter 1, it's recorded Jesus said, "Do not," he commanded them when he was with, "do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit and power." And so he told them, in essence, he goes, "You know, you followed me for 3 years. You've watched everything that I've done. I've even sent," you realize this, Jesus sent the disciples out numerous times. Several times it's recorded in Scripture that he sent them out with his authority. "Go on to the cities in front of me, heal the sick, cast out devils, and tell them the kingdom of God is at hand." And when they went, they were successful. There is not one record of any of them. They were sent out two by two. And there's not any record that any two of those disciples were unable to do exactly the same works that Jesus did. And they were authorized by him at that time to do that. And I want you to grasp this. That's before Jesus went to the cross. If they can do the works that Jesus did before he went to the cross, because he had sent them. And when he sent them, he laid hands on them. He sent them. So they had what I'm going to say is an original covenant or an old covenant, Old Testament anointing, much like Elijah had, or one of the Old Testament prophets, where you would read it say, "And the Spirit of God came upon Elijah, and he did this or he did that." Well, came upon, it'd be like this: I put a coat on, that coat is upon me. But that coat is a temporary outward covering. It may be a suit of armor. It'd be a better illustration. I put a suit of armor on. It's an outward covering, and it is temporary. I can't wear that permanently, and it serves a purpose. That's the way the anointing of the Holy Spirit worked before Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, and ascended. Now, here in John's Gospels, Jesus is trying to get the disciples to understand things are going to be different in the future. He was trying to get them to really comprehend. He told them 13 times in the gospel that I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be crucified. On the third day, I'll rise from the dead. 13 times he told them that. It's recorded. Every single time. The closest they ever got to actually accepting it as truth, Jesus asked the disciples one day, he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah." And Jesus said, "Well, who do you say I am?" And Peter stepped up and says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonah, well done." He said, "But flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then you know what he said? He said, "The Son of Man must go into Jerusalem, be turned over to the Gentiles, mocked, scourged, crucified, but on the third day I'll rise from the dead." And you know what Peter did? Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Peter began to rebuke Jesus. Now, I want you to lay your handle on this. 30 seconds ago, who do people say I am? They don't even know. They think you're one of the prophets. Who do you say I am? Oh, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. Yes, I am. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. In the Passion Translation, it says he went into detail explaining to them all that would happen, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke and try to correct Jesus. Oops. That's the closest they ever got to actually believing that Jesus was going to be crucified and dead, and then rise from the dead. You wonder, you know, after when he was crucified and when they put Jesus in the tomb, you would think the disciples would go, man, this is exactly what he was talking about. Let's go line up at the tomb and wait for him to come out. But they didn't. They lost all hope. They thought it was all over. They were bewildered, scared, didn't know what to do. Because when he told them that he was going to die on the cross and that he was going to rise from the dead, it did not fit their idea of how things were going to go. So they just refused to believe it. Over and over, he told them, plain. But it just didn't suit them. It just didn't suit them, so they just didn't accept it. In other words, they had ears, and they could hear him physically saying it, but they didn't open their hearts to receive it because it didn't fit their mold. After all, the Jewish Messiah is going to come. He's going to deliver Israel from their enemies. He's going to conquer the Romans. He's going to reestablish the kingdom, earthly kingdom of Israel, and wipe out their enemies. That's what Messiah comes to do. They had been told that for hundreds and hundreds of years, but they were wrong. They missed the prophecies about the suffering Messiah, like Isaiah 53, that he would be beaten and scourged for our transgressions. They didn't want to see the suffering Messiah. They'd seen enough suffering. They wanted to see the conquering Messiah. So in other words, they couldn't hear what they should have heard because they didn't hear what they wanted to hear. Woo-woo. Can you hear me now? Sometimes we can't hear because God's not saying what we want him to say. And if we want to hear, we need to open up our ears and hear what he is saying, not what we'd like him to say. But we need to understand this. Whatever God is saying, it's the best thing for us. And we need to believe that. We need to become so convinced that God is good and God is love. After all, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. What more could he do to show us his love? I can't think of anything. When I think about the cross, I just think about the extravagant love that Jesus demonstrated. I mean, he went way, way beyond. I mean, he's God. He could have made the rules. He could have said, if I come to the earth and sneeze, then you're all saved. I mean, he could do it however he wanted to do it. But he's the one that set it in place that only by blood would sin be forgiven. And in order for man's sin to be completely forgiven, it would need to be a man who was completely innocent. And Jesus came and became that man, lived a sinless life, and offered himself willingly so that our sins could be forgiven. Amen. So he's gathered in the upper room with his disciples. And in verse 5, he says this to them. He said, now I am going to him who sent me. In other words, I'm leaving. And yet none of you has asked me, where are you going? But because I said these things, you're filled with grief. They didn't understand that he was going to die for their sins so that the new covenant that had been prophesied over and over in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 36 prophesies of the new covenant, where God said, I will take you out of those nations. I'll remove a heart of stone from you and give you a soft, tender heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you and move you to obey my commands. I'll forgive your sins and remember them no more. Jeremiah 31 also prophesied of a new covenant for Israel. You would think they being Hebrew men would have heard, man, there's a new covenant coming. There's a new covenant coming. And then they would have understood that that's what Jesus was going to do, but they just couldn't see it. And once again, why not? Why couldn't they see it? Why couldn't they hear it? And the answer is because it didn't fit their mold. And so Jesus is trying to get them to see. He said, I'm going away, and because I'm going away, you're filled with grief. But he says, but I tell you the truth. John 16:7. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. It in the King James says this, it is expedient for you that I go away. Now, I don't know when the last time you used the word expedient, but it's been a while for me. I don't walk around going, man, it would be expedient if we went to Walmart to buy our eggs. I just don't talk like that. I say it this way. You know, we'd be better off if we went over there. We'd be better off if we got our gas here. It's a dime cheaper than it is over there. You know, we'd be better off. That's what expedient means. It means it's better. It's more to your advantage. So I'm going to say it that way. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. My NIV Bible says, it's for your good that I'm going away. In other words, you're about to be better off. Think about that. If you had the choice today, say, you can have Jesus in the flesh. just like he was here on the earth when he was in his ministry. And he will come and walk with you and talk with you and guide you. You can have him, or you can have the new covenant indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Which one do you choose? Dum, 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 dum. You know, it's like, almost everybody would go, I choose Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, you choose wrong. You say, you mean to tell me that you would choose the Holy Spirit over Jesus? Yeah, I do, because he chose for me the Holy Spirit over himself. He said this, it's to your benefit and your good that I'm going away, because unless I go away, the counselor or the comforter, Greek word parakletos, means one who's just like me, called alongside to be with you, will, if I don't go away, he will not come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. So Jesus was saying, it's to your advantage that I go away. He goes, you're all sad that I'm going away, but I'm going away so that you can receive a greater benefit. Wow, I didn't really think it was a greater benefit. I mean, if I had Jesus right here, I could say, Jesus, and he'd go, uh-huh. And I'd say, what are we going to do about this? And he would say, whatever. He'd say, well, we're going to go over here, and this is what we're going to do. And if a big storm come, I'd go, oh, man, is it going to be all right, Jesus? And he'd go, yep, it's going to be all right. I give you authority. Say this to that storm. And I'd go, oh, okay. And I'd say that. You say, well, man, wouldn't it be nice if you could just talk to God and he would talk back? Jesus said this, continuing in John 16. He said, first, you're better off with the Holy Spirit than you are with me. It's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go, he won't come. Then he said this, when he comes, when he is a pronoun used to speak to a person, not an it. The Holy Spirit is not the force, and this is not Star Wars. The Holy Spirit is the person of God himself, the literal Spirit of God. When he, the Comforter, the Spirit of God comes, he will convict the world of guilt. He said, oh, convict, ooh, that's bad. No, that's good, because without that, you don't know the difference between right and wrong. You do a lot of things, cause a lot of damage to your own life and other people's life too, without even knowing it. Thank God that the Holy Spirit's there to go, and bring correction. Conviction, listen to me, conviction is not God's stamp of disapproval. The Bible says that if God doesn't correct us, then we're not really his children. I mean, because what parent never, ever corrected their child? If they didn't, they didn't love that child. They just let them do whatever they want, like free-range parenting. Well, God is not a free-range God. He is the Lord who will lord over you. That's what Lord is. Lord means lord over you. But always, always, always for our benefit. When God says don't do something, it's not that he's taking fun away. He's taking pain away. You know, it's like you tell little Johnny, don't touch the fire. Why not? It's fun. You know, it's like, no, you may think it is, but you'll get burned, and I know better. So don't touch the fire. And then little Johnny, if he listens, he don't get burned. But if he closes up his ears, he gets to learn by experience. Amen. God would rather have you learn through wisdom than experience. So the Holy Spirit brings conviction, teaching us what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. Would you agree with me that today we need a whole lot more conviction in our world today? Instead of people deciding by popular opinion or by their own reasoning what is right or what's good, we need to get back to letting God tell us what is right and what's wrong. Like what is right in a marriage, what is right concerning our gender identity, what is right concerning unborn lives. We need God to tell us what's right and what's not right, because people will tell you wrong. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men don't believe in me. Without the Holy Spirit, no one would ever come to believe in Jesus. That's the truth. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us realize our need for Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He says, in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father. In other words, you don't have the example of Jesus to physically watch anymore to see what's good or bad. So the Holy Spirit's going to be here to teach us and to give us an example of what's right. So that's the righteousness. And then of judgment, he says, because the prince of the world stands now condemned. In other words, he's going to show you the truth that sin leads to condemnation. He's not going to condemn, but he's going to show you that that'll bring about judgment. Now look at verse 12. Jesus, talking to the disciples, said, I have much more to say to you now than you can bear. That's the way I feel every Sunday at the close of church. I have much more to say to you than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into what? All truth. What's all truth? Does that mean just truth about the Bible? It's just truth about spiritual things? No, he'll guide you into all truth. He knows everything about everything all the time. And he's never wrong. Can you imagine that? Have you ever used a GPS system in a car? One time I was in Tulsa, and I was looking for a Walmart. I found five churches. You say, what are you talking about? I found five churches in old Walmart buildings because the GPS was wrong. It was not updated. It was not, and it was the reason why that GPS was not updated, because it was not constantly connected to the data source. It had lost contact. Holy Spirit is constantly connected with the source, Father God, who knows all things. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, born-again believers, with the Holy Spirit living in us, have an opportunity to be connected to the Holy Spirit. If I'm connected to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's connected to the Father, I have a direct connection to Father God, who knows all things. So that's why Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. Awesome. How's he going to do it? Is he going to grab you and forcefully drag you somewhere? I mean, know that when people tried to do that to you when you were little, you kicked and screamed. It doesn't work. God is not going to drag you kicking and screaming down the pathway of his will. Now, David was smart enough, even in the Old Testament, to say, he leads me, all right? He leads me beside still waters. He will lead us. Well, how's he going to do it? Holy Spirit says this. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. Some people think it says he will not speak. I think that's what they think, because they act like they think he will not speak. Like, as if God doesn't speak to you. I'm going to tell you something. God speaks to you. I can prove it. He's speaking to you right now. He may be using me to do it, but he is speaking to you right now, because if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have come here today. If it weren't for him writing this in his word, I wouldn't be speaking it today. So he is speaking. You say, well, I want to hear God speak today. Well, open the Bible and read it, and he will speak, because he is speaking through every written word. And he will also speak to you through his Spirit, speaking to your spirit. But if you won't, listen to me carefully, if you won't hear this, what is written, if you refuse to hear what's written, you're not going to hear what's coming in your spirit. I'm going to show you that one in the word here in just a minute, or 3 or 5 or 30. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Okay, can I ask you a question? Will the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth? Can you know the truth about any situation? You say, well, I'm going to go to vote in November. I don't know who to vote for. Holy Spirit knows who to vote for. And Holy Spirit can lead you, listen to this, to do your homework, so that you not only get a word from him about who to vote for, but you know why, and he can lead you to the truth about these candidates, because they're going to tell you whatever they think you want to hear. Some of them even pay you to vote for them, you know. They'll make sure you get, you know, your college loan paid off right before the midterms, you know, so that you'll vote for them or for their party, even though they want to murder babies and take away all of our rights as Americans. You figure out which one I'm talking about. Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth concerning that. I mean, it is the truth. And I, as an American, have the freedom to say that. It's my constitutional right, and God gave me a voice. So I'm going to use my voice. How about you? What are you saying to your friends? Are you cowering down? How come your friends think that this is the truth. When how come your friends go around saying 1 + 1 = 3? How come your friends go around saying, well, I think, you know, whatever, I don't know that abortion's really all that bad. I mean, how come your friends say that? The answer is because you don't say otherwise. You haven't got guts enough to stand up and speak the truth. So stand up and speak the truth as the Holy Spirit gives it to you. Speak it in love. Speak it in love. But speak it. Holy Spirit's going to speak truth. If you have ears to hear it, he will guide you into all truth about all things at all times. He'll lead you even the simplest little things. He will guide. I heard a testimony a couple of days ago about a woman police officer. I believe she's in Baltimore or somewhere, but big city police officer. And she started to pull over a car that passed her with a broken taillight. Now, this young lady, she was younger than me, so she's got to be a young lady, police officer, spirit-filled, Jesus-loving Christian police officer, woman. And she heard, she started to go after the car with the broken taillight. And she heard Holy Spirit say to her, don't stop that car, stop the one in front of her. Well, the one in front of her, she, whatever. But she just went around. She bypassed the one with the broken light, and she went to the car. The Holy Spirit told her to stop, flipped her lights on, car pulled over. She went up there as an 80-year-old woman who was suffering from some problems with her health and had dementia, and there was a silver alert for her in the state over. And if that policewoman had not listened to the Holy Spirit, that lady, she was disoriented, didn't know where she was at, lost. If she had not stopped her, there's no telling where she would have wound up at. But Holy Spirit led her into all truth, knowing that she needed to help that lady get help so she could get home and her loved ones wouldn't be worrying about her. Holy Spirit will lead you in practical things. Practical things. He will even tell you things that are not yet. So what do you mean? Keep reading. Jesus said he'll guide you into all truth. How's he going to do it? He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. He will speak what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. That's the words of Jesus. That's not my opinion. That's the word of God. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. How's he going to guide you into all truth? I'm assuming by speaking to you. Now, sometimes his voice is not as loud and clear as a person speaking to you, but at the same time, it's almost inescapable that when he speaks, you really have to suppress it to not know that God spoke to you. Somebody said, well, how do you know it's God speaking to you? The only way I know it explained it is this. You just do. You just do. And unless you train yourself to ignore him, to suppress what he's saying. Like, maybe you got something going on in your life. What's the first thing Holy Spirit's ministry is to us to do? Convict us in regard to sin and righteousness. Because God doesn't want us to be condemned. God doesn't want things coming in our life that bring death and destruction. He wants the best for us. So if we've got something in our life that's going on that's an open door for the enemy to come in, because the only thing the thief comes to do, the only thing, is to steal, kill, and destroy. So if there's a doorway in my life open through something that's going on, I say, well, I'm not even aware of it. Holy Spirit's going to be pointing his finger at that doorway. He's going to be rubbing me on that sore spot, you know. And unless I just get so cast, so I'm not giving that up. You know, I'm not hearing it. No, I ain't hearing. No, that ain't God. Then I'm closing my heart. I'm hardening my heart. The tips of my fingers on my left hand all have calluses on them because I play guitar. If I had to grab that guitar with my right hand and squeeze those strings, man, I wouldn't be playing very long, and I'd be in intense pain, and I'd quit. But my left hand has these calluses so that literally it doesn't even feel. I can stick a pin in the end of my finger, and until I penetrate all the way through that callus, I don't feel it at all. It's hardened. And you know how it got that way? It got that way by ignoring the pain. Do you know how your heart becomes hardened where you can't hear? You have trouble hearing from God? Because when the Holy Spirit pricks your heart with that little, you ignore it. and you ignore it on purpose, like as someone sticking their fingers in their ears, going, I don't want to hear it. You know, it's like that's we do that spiritually sometimes. I don't want to hear it. That's not God. That's how we justify it. We go, that's not God. But it was God, and we need to listen. Holy Spirit will speak to you, and he will guide you into all truth, especially truths about your life, of things that need to be adjusted. Conviction is nothing more than an opportunity to readjust so that it's better. Now, I'm old enough to remember my grandma's radio used to do this when you turned the knob. You know, and it would whistle and it would make a noise, and then you'd get it just right and the station would come in. And then maybe it didn't move at all, but something happened in the atmosphere and the signal would begin to get lost. I'm talking about in the late 60s, early 70s, and you'd go and they'd move the knob just a tiny bit and it'd come back in clear again. Those old radios were something you had to kind of constantly adjust. It wasn't set it and forget it. It wasn't digital. And listen to me. Your spirit is not a digital thing. You are a living being in a relationship with God. So we need to have constant adjustment, willing to hear Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. Amen. And right now, I'm going to tell you this. God is willing to hear our prayers. He's willing on your behalf to use his power. And we're going to put our faith in agreement with yours. If you haven't got your prayer requests sent in yet, Monica, how do they do that? You can get your prayer request to us.
You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can post it to our Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper.
And Neva always has prayer requests because she's got like 2 million friends. Everybody in the world's Neva's friend. And she knows so many people need prayer. Of course, we all do. But we're not going to pray for the sake of eating up time. We can do that easily. But we're going to release our faith and believe God for some good things to happen.